I wanted to share with you a scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter 15. This is the story about the Canaanite woman. Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon," which I think is kind of like saying, "I just don't know what's gotten into her." He didn't answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps on shouting after us." And he answered by saying, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from the master's table." Our dog gets a little more than crumbs. At least from someone in the house, not me. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day. It's a day to remember the fifth commandment, which you probably can guess by now what the fifth commandment is, right? Honor your fathers and mothers. I thought this was really interesting. Most of the commandments don't have consequences associated with them. They just say what we should or shouldn't do. Thou shalt not lie. This is the only commandment that has a consequence associated with it. Honor your father and your mother. You know why? So that your life may be long in the land. In 1912, Anna Jarvis actually trademarked the phrase Mother's Day. And I thought this was really interesting, too. It was important to her that it was a phrase that was in the singular possessive. Or in other words, it was important to her that this was a day not just to honor mothers or motherhood or motherly love, but specifically to honor your mother.
Hey, Brad?
Brad?
Yeah? Do you know what denomination she was?
What denomination was she, Derek?
She was United Methodist.
Yay, Methodist!
Hooray for us!
I love it when we get something right every now and then.
Yeah!
So do you have plans to honor your mother today?
Uh-huh. Love you, Mom.
Are you going to go out for a meal at some point in the day? Are you going to maybe give her a call? Are you going to, if your mother has passed, are you going to maybe visit her grave? Are you going to maybe find a picture? Maybe share a story of her life together? There's all ways that we can honor our mothers, aren't they? Our God is a God of love, and God chooses for whatever reason to give that love away. Often we experience God's love through the relationships with the people who love us. And so what I thought it would be appropriate to do today is take a look at some of the stories of a mother's love in the scriptures, in hopes that it will teach us something about God's love and maybe therefore something about how we can be more loving towards others. Does that sound like a plan? Sound like a good idea? Do you want to be better able to share God's love with other people? I thought we'd specifically focus on three examples. The first one is Jochebed. The second one is the widow of Zarephath, mostly because I like saying the word Zarephath. And the last one, the Canaanite woman whose story we just read. First, Jochebed. You can read her story if you want to in Exodus chapter 6. Her name may not be familiar to you until I tell you who her son was. He was the most famous person in the Old Testament. You ready to take any guesses? Moses. Now do you know her story? She lived in Egypt even though she was an Israelite. The Egyptians didn't like the Israelites very much in those days. So much so that there had been a decree that all male children should be killed. She had a male child and managed to protect him for 3 months. But after 3 months, she felt like she couldn't keep him safe anymore. So you remember this story? She made a little boat bed for him and kept him safe in a neighboring river. Eventually, the Pharaoh's daughter came down and found the baby there, was so attracted to him and so amazed at his mother's resourcefulness that the Pharaoh's daughter took him in as her own. She didn't want to do the work of being a mom, though, and so she found somebody else that could do the role of mothering. And Jochebed managed to get herself assigned that job. So my word for her is resourceful. She shows how important it is to be resourceful as a parent. But do you see what's going on here? God is able to use a mother's resourcefulness to turn Pharaoh's evil intentions into a part of his plan for salvation. She named her baby Moses. Now in Hebrew, do you know what Moses means? It means drawn up out of the water. So I am sure that he grew up with this story about how he'd been drawn out of the water. All right, do you see what's going on here? Later in life, you know that he'd be fleeing Egypt or Pharaoh's army from Egypt, and he'd run into the Red Sea, and most people, I'm sure, would have panicked and wondered, what on earth are we going to do? Moses would have been uniquely able, I think, to see the possibility that God would be able to see them through the water. In Hebrew, Moses meant drawn out of the water, but I think this is really interesting. Remember, they're not in Israel. They're in Egypt. Do you know what Moses means in Egyptian? It's probably pronounced Mises. It means son of. So for example, the Pharaoh at the time is thought to have been Ramses II, had red hair. They actually have his mummy, and he still has red hair in the museum in Cairo. Ramses, Ra, Mises. Ra was the sun god, so his name meant son of the sun god. All right, do you see what's going on here, though, with Moses? That means that Moses' name meant, in Egyptian, son of no one. Every time his name was said, it would have been a reminder for him that you have no father. You have no family. There's no one who considers you one of their children. So I think the moral in that is that if you're facing a bad situation, maybe even an evil situation, our God is one who likes to take bad situations and redeem them for good. A good example for me of that this year, the person that would get my Mother of the Year award this year, you know that there have been riots going on in Baltimore for a couple weeks ago because there was a funeral for a guy named Freddie Gray who had been arrested, was healthy when he was taken into police captivity, and then went into a coma and died in police captivity. After his funeral, there were riots that broke out and protests and looting and violence. You've probably seen the video of this one. One guy was in the protest, a 16-year-old kid. Have you seen this video? Woman saw her son down in the protesting, goes down into the protesting, pulls him out and says, "I raised you better than this." I love that story. Are you facing a bad situation? Is there a way that you can show God's love to take a bad situation and redeem it for the good? Let's talk a little bit about the widow of Zarephath. You can find her story in 1 Kings 17. She's poor. In fact, she's so poor, all she has is a little bit of food and her son. Her plan is, when we meet her, to gather some sticks together, make a last meal, have it, and then probably die. Then the prophet Elijah shows up and asks her if she would share a little bit of it, and she does. That's part of the miracle in this story. Would you have done that? If you had only a little bit of food left, would you have shared it with the prophet? As her reward, the jar never goes empty. She has an endless supply of food. One of the things I've been doing this week has been visiting the hospital. We've had a lot of people who have been hospitalized, and for some reason, a lot of them seem to have been hospitalized with heart problems. One of them has been Joyce Osborne. She, for the last couple weeks, wasn't feeling real well, and then on Saturday had a dog show. She went to show her dog and was really short of breath, decided that she needed to get it checked out, so she went over to Green Memorial Hospital. They saw signs that there were some heart problems. And so that was Sunday night. Monday, they made arrangements to transfer her down to Kettering to have a heart cath. I saw her on Monday. And I said, you know, considering you've just been told you've had heart problems and you're having a heart cath tomorrow, you seem pretty well. She said, "Boy, you should have seen me yesterday." She said, "I was scared and I was a mess." So I asked her, "All right, what's happened between Sunday and Monday?" And you know what she said? She said, I decided to put my trust in God. I decided to let him handle it. She says, I hope the test tomorrow will show that there isn't anything, but if there is, I'm glad that they've got a test that'll show it. And she said, when I decided that, I felt a sense of peace come over me. To finish the story, by the way, she did have the heart cath done on Tuesday, and they said, you've got the heart of a teenager. She said, it's not going to be heart problems that get you. You're going to live forever. Not very often you hear a doctor say that. Here are some words from Henry Nouwen. He said, if that's you, one day when that's you, don't give up. Prepare your last meal. Turn it over to God who has made himself known and demonstrated his ability to supply. Confess your sins and see if God doesn't forgive. Cry out for help and see if God's Spirit doesn't give strength. Give your tithe and see if God lets you go broke. Ask God to show you his love and see if God doesn't point you to the cross. Ponder God's power and see if God doesn't remind you of the empty tomb. Beg God for wisdom and see what comes from his word. Bake that last of what you have and see if God doesn't come through. God is a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. Jesus reveals to us God's abundance when he offers so much bread that people have 12 large baskets with scraps left over. And when he makes his disciples catch so many fish that their boat nearly sinks. God doesn't give us just enough. God gives us more than enough. More bread and fish than we can eat. More love than we dared to ask for. God is a generous giver. But we can only see and enjoy God's generosity when we love God with all our hearts, and with all our strength, and with all our mind. As long as we say, I will love you, God, but first show me your generosity, we will remain distant from God and unable to experience what God truly wants to give us, which is life and life in abundance. Is that where you are? Are you feeling like your resources are running out, like you're ready to give up? Then I think the moral of the widow of Zarephath is trust in the Lord and see if he doesn't provide. Which brings us at last to the Canaanite woman. She comes to Jesus wanting help for her daughter. The disciples tell her that she's being a nuisance, and so they try to brush her off, but she just keeps on trying. What would motivate her to do that? What does she care about that much? Her son, or her daughter, of course. And her faith in Jesus is what keeps her going. Even when Jesus tries to brush her off, he says, you're not one of the chosen people. He calls her a dog. And I think it's interesting what happens here because you don't see it in English. She comes back to Jesus with a word for dog that's actually better translated puppy. She said, even puppies need some love. This woman, I think, is a reminder that not all of us are God's chosen sons, but that doesn't mean we're not part of the family. Anna Jarvis is the one who is credited with really starting Mother's Day in America. She did it in 1908 as a way of honoring, can you guess who? Her own mother, whose name also was Anna Jarvis. Do you know what her mother was known for? During the Civil War, she had offered medical care to soldiers who were people who were injured. Do you know which side she offered care to? Both sides. She believed that anybody who was hurt was a person who needed help and needed some healing. We forget that sometimes. We hear about people who are doing things that we don't understand or don't agree with, and we forget that they're part of the family too. We hear about people in parts of the world that are being mistreated, and we forget that they're a part of the family too. We forget that the things that unite us are far greater than the things that would divide us, because we're united by a faith that involves things like humility and sacrifice and love. When Jesus left this woman, he goes up onto a mountain, probably to try to get some time away, but he's followed by crowds. The crowds are so enthralled with his teaching that they spend late into the evening with him and they miss dinner. So the next thing we know, the disciples are coming to him, telling Jesus he's got to send these crowds away, much as the disciples thought they should send this woman away. Only this time, Jesus also offers compassion. I wonder whether maybe Jesus was thinking about the Canaanite woman. I wonder if maybe she taught him something about how people can be fed with crumbs. Because I know that he took a couple of loaves and fishes and somehow was able to make enough for everyone. If there's something that you're dealing with and feeling like there's not enough money, not enough time, not enough energy, not enough talent, not enough creativity, is it possible that by God's grace you might find a few crumbs and that those crumbs might be enough? Is there someone that you're having a hard time loving? Maybe it's helpful to remember from this Canaanite woman that they too are a sacred person, created by God, probably loved by their mother, and deserving of our love as well. I wanted to leave you with a story, and so I'll give this one a try. I'll admit going into that it's kind of bad. About Donald McDonald, who was from Scotland. Got old enough to go to college, and he decided to go to college in England. So you have a Scot going to college in England. His mother called him about a month after he'd been there and said, "So how are the other English students treating you?" And he said, "Oh, mother, the other students at this school are just horrible. They're so loud and so noisy. The one on that side keeps banging his head on the wall and just won't stop. And the one on that side just screams all night long." Donald's mother said, "Oh, Donald, I don't know how you manage to put up with these awful English neighbors." And he said, "Mother, my response is to basically just mind my own business. I try to ignore them and just pay my own attention to what I'm doing and just basically spend all day playing my bagpipes." Our God is a God of love who has chosen for whatever reason to give that love away. That's why we were created. What God wants most from us is to love Him in return, and the way that we do that is in the way that we treat others. The problem is that we don't always do such a good job, and that's why God sent us Jesus, to let us know that we are forgiven, to show us the way back to God, and to give us an example of how we live. If you're facing a difficult, maybe even an evil situation, look for ways that God can take it and redeem it for good. If you're at the end of your rope, maybe running out of resources, remember that you can put your trust in the Lord, and know that there is no person who is not deserving of the love of God. And often we find that portrait in our moms. That's the message that this video gets across, and so I invite you to watch with me this video that is portraits of God's love.